It's On Second Thought. I'm Ricky Bevington, in for Celeste Headlee. Finding romance in a big city can take a lot of time and work.
We're going to get you back on the dating scene, bro. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's actually why we're here. We want to put your profile on Match.com.
First thing we got to do is we got to take your picture for the profile.
So. So do you have the makeup?
Yeah. Oh, no makeup!
Well, those hornets things are pretty bad, buddy, so I think we're going to have
to... I am who I am.
If you are looking in Atlanta, your chances are better than a lot of places. Wallet Hub just finished a survey that says Atlanta's one of the best cities to be single. And here to talk more about Atlanta's dating scene are three experts. Brittany Manson, who writes the Alone in Atlanta blog. Welcome back, Brittany.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Atlanta-based artist Matthew Terrell. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ricky.
And we're joined by Victoria Elizabeth, who's creator and co-host of the You Don't Know Me podcast. She features a series on her podcast called The Tinder Files. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Brittany, the last time you were on our show 2 years ago, we had you discuss the large number of single women compared to single men in Atlanta. Ratios matter. The Martin Prosperity Institute analyzed census data and found there are roughly 80,000 more single women than single men in the city. First of all, I just want to say I love that somebody spends money studying who's single in America.
Right.
Just going to get that out of the way.
Why didn't I get that job?
Good for you.
Seriously.
So in your opinion, Brittany, has it become easier to date as a single woman?
I think it's easier if you open yourself to different opportunities to date. You know, if you're not open to online dating, speed dating, meeting somebody in the grocery store in the fruit section, like, it could definitely be hard because unless, you know, he's delivering Domino's pizza or something, he's not going to show up at your doorstep. So as long as you're open to different aspects of dating, I think it can be good. Like, your chances can be great.
So you pretty much have to wear makeup everywhere you go. Is that what you're telling the single ladies?
I mean, I'm not saying you have to go full face like when you're going to the gas station to pump gas. But, I mean, it wouldn't hurt if you know, just kind of spruced yourself up. Don't go out in your, like, bathrobe and fuzzy slippers or anything like that. You know, just make yourself presentable.
Victoria, you've lived in a number of cities in the U.S. and abroad. How does Atlanta stack up as a city for dating?
I think it really depends on how you're defining dating, too. In terms of affordability to actually go out and, like, do things and, like, be social, that I actually think Atlanta's a great city. I've lived in, you know, some cities in Europe that are really expensive, like Stockholm, which is actually the only other place I tried online dating, Tinder, to be specific. And it's kind of hard to enjoy the city as much. So I think Atlanta, in terms of affordability, in terms of accessibility, is actually really, really good.
So speaking of meeting people, we spoke with some people in Atlanta about the dating scene, and our producer, Emily Curitan, actually talked to them in the most unique place. They were washing their hands in a co-ed bathroom at a bar. I can't think of a better environment in which to meet somebody, right? I've never heard of a co-ed, you know, washroom in a bathroom bar, but here are their voices.
All the businesses along the Beltline and the way the city has grown, I personally think it's a really good city that you can find a relationship in, of course.
It's not a city for, like, lovebirds. It's a city for people who are probably trying to build something as far as career-wise or people who are here to party or have fun.
Atlanta's a good city to be single in, but to find a relationship, I think it might be hard because Atlanta has such good nightlife and no one's ready to commit, honestly.
Seems like there's like exceptionally great women, and the men are just really like below average, like across the board, relatively consistently, unfortunately.
Those were the voices of Greg of Atlanta, Latonia of Atlanta, and Chris of Smyrna, and Gauthamy of Atlanta. So speaking of the men, Matthew, we'll have you represent. You are openly gay. How is Atlanta as a city for dating within the LGBT community?
You know, Atlanta is such a gay-friendly city. I travel all over. And I will say, sometimes I feel like it's a gayer city, more friendly and open city than even San Francisco. But perhaps it's like a critical mass of too many gay people because there's this feeling of, well, there's always somebody else around the corner, so why settle down right now with this person?
But according to what Brittany was saying, that might not be a gender thing. It may just be that there's so many options, and nobody of any gender, of any preference, really wants to settle down because you can always swipe right one more time for possibly a better option. I've heard this from friends. Do you guys see this in your expert opinions?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think you could probably launch a study on how online dating and how Tinder and how all these apps have really impacted the dating scene across the country and, like, our culture around dating, right? So I do hear a lot of people talk about, especially when I interview them, I hear I'm burned out on dating. I'm burned out on Tinder. I hear that a lot, which was something that used to be relegated to, like, jobs or, you know, maybe to doing something that you don't love doing, right? And it's kind of this weird culture of, like, dating becoming another job.
Mm-hmm. You actually spoke with somebody on your podcast, The Tinder Files. Here's someone who you talked to who goes by Z. He lives in Atlanta, and he admits he does get burned out by dating.
You know, as a guy, like, you know, modern, like, equality aside, like, regardless of all of that, it's still a dude's role most of the time, not always, most of the time, to move things forward. And if a dude doesn't move things forward, well, it's not going to go anywhere. And sometimes I just, I don't know about other guys, but I just burn out on it after a while. I don't want to move anything forward.
Brittany, I'll ask you to speak to this, the gender dynamics of, and the expectations across gender in dating in Atlanta.
Well, when I first heard the study from Wallet Hub about, you know, this being the second best city for dating and singles, at first I was like, I don't think they have the right city because there's no way that this could be the second best city for singles and dating. But then I had to step back and think about it. I'm like, I'm reading more into this study than what it is. Like, the study said it's the best city for singles and dating, not necessarily monogamy, commitment, and relationships. So if you want to date here, or you're going to find dates here. But I think sometimes we go into the situation expecting more than what we really should just be expecting, which is just the date at that moment, especially with women. I think a lot of times we go into a situation already pairing their last name with our first. We're already picking out China patterns, you know, who's going to be my bridesmaid. And it's just the first date. So I think the main thing that makes dating hard here in Atlanta sometimes is the expectations, and people are not making their expectations known immediately. You know, a guy could just be going into it for the date. Like, I just want someone to talk to for the moment. She's going into it looking for a husband within the next 3 to 6 months. So as long as everybody makes their expectations known, like, then it could be okay.
Yeah, all cards on the table. Don't be judgy. It's just we're all here for our own reasons. I'm speaking with podcaster Victoria Elizabeth, blogger Brittany Manson, and Atlanta-based artist Matthew Terrell. Matthew, how has online dating changed the dating scene in the gay community in Atlanta?
Well, it's made it sort of a game. You know, the playing...
dating has always been a game.
Well, no, it's literally a game now because you win, you lose. It's like, oh, how many people did I match with today?
Oh.
And it's really geared towards perpetually playing that game and never ending. And, you know, I, speaking as a man here, I want to say that men are terrible pigs. And... you do not need a man to define you or to complete you. I certainly do not. And I like to say I am an artist and I am in a relationship with my creative practice.
Mm. Wow. I'm going to use that next time somebody says, what's a nice girl like you doing not married? How about this? I would love for all of you to tell me very briefly a horror story. Victoria, you want to start?
I got to dig into the depths here.
And maybe what we learned. Obviously, you know, we could have plenty of conversations about safety with dating and just being smart when you're meeting strangers. But I also think that we need to inject some levity into the press. Oh, Matthew is raising his hand.
Okay.
I hope this is a funny horror story.
Okay, I had paid good money for tickets to go see a drag show with a guy. And he picked me up and he said... oh, well, we have to pick somebody else up on our way over.
What?
And me and this guy, we'd been on a couple of dates before, and we'd spent the night together. And he's like, yeah, I have a boyfriend now, and I also got him tickets to the show, and we have to pick him up. And you have to get in the back seat of the car, too. And it was a two-door car, and it was just very small. I was crammed in the back seat while he picked up this guy who I knew, actually. And it was just incredibly, incredibly awkward. Zoom forward. Year later, last night, they have broken up, and now he wants to go on a date again.
It's almost like there's no rules anymore.
It's the Wild West.
It's the Wild West. Brittany, what is your response to something that outlandish?
I mean, you just have to roll with the punches. Unfortunately, you know, we're all in here because we have had our experiences with dating, good and bad, and you just can't let those deter you, unfortunately. Like, I mean, I've been writing alone in Atlanta for at least 5 years now, and it's not because people enjoy hearing my happy moments about dating. They enjoy hearing the horror stories about dating. But if you let it deter you, then you'll never get closer to finding who you're ultimately supposed to be with. So just roll with it. Laugh it off and keep it moving.
Well, I did lead this segment saying it's a lot of work. So yes. Let's hear from Gia Gales of Decatur. She's single, 37 years old, and she uses Tinder, admitting that the app can make it difficult to find meaningful relationships.
Honestly, a lot of people aren't that eloquent. I know that probably is not the greatest thing to say, but, you know, sometimes people aren't that great at writing. So they're not interested in maybe telling their whole life story via Tinder. And that's fine, but then everybody's so on the go, they also don't take the time to really meet you and spend that in-person time that lets you know if there's going to be a connection or not.
Victoria, do you think people are lazy about dating?
Absolutely. I think we have a convenience culture around it too right now, just because it's a game. Like, it's, you know, you want to get straight to the point as quickly as possible. I think from, and it's different too for men and women, like right there. I think for a lot of men, I would go with that. I mean, a lot of men that I've encountered on Tinder don't really want to sit and talk on Tinder, whereas women are much more conversational and they want to like understand you, or at least this is from the interviews that I've done, the kind of the experiences that I've pulled from it. Obviously there are exceptions, but I would absolutely say that people are lazy, and the longer you do it, the lazier you get, the more efficient you want to be with it. You're like, all right, let's go.
So are all of you on online dating apps?
Yes.
What are your favorites? We're just going to go around the room. Oh, somebody's blushing already.
I actually pay for a subscription to Grindr and Scruff.
Okay. I know Grindr, but what's Scruff?
A little bit older, barrier, hairier. Men.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barrier, hairier. Barrier, I love hairier. That.
To each his own.
Yes.
I have been on Match.com, POF, OkCupid. But currently, I'm just on Tinder, and it's just about what we said. People are lazy. It's such an easy app. I could just swipe. If I don't like you, go to the left. Swipe. Mm-hmm. If I like you, go to the right. It's so convenient. So that's what I like about Tinder. But honestly, you get what you pay for. And I'm, you know, on the free version, so sometimes I don't come across, you know, the people of the utmost quality. But they are in quantity. So.
Okay.
So I'm currently not on any of them because I met my significant other on Tinder.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah. accidentally, actually. But I was on, I even tried Happn, which was like a new one where you kind of cross paths with the person, and it's weirdly stalkerish. Like,
because your phone like geolocates
your phone geolocates you. So whoever you frequently cross paths with, in theory, is going to show up. So I only dated one person off of that, and it was a terrible experience. So I can't really speak to it, but it's a little creepy. And then obviously, like, Tinder was a big one. But I actually met my significant other by complete accident. I was driving through Charlotte, and a friend of mine was getting married, and she'd been with her partner for 10 years. And I, like, pulled it out, pulled out Tinder to show her what it was. And when I got to Atlanta, there was a glitch, and it didn't update my location. And I matched with my now partner, who lives in Charlotte. and we actually met in San Francisco, of all places. So very, very outside the perimeter.
Wow. You know, since you mentioned that, I'd love to encourage listeners who have met a significant other on online dating apps mm-hmm. or have another great story to share with us. Please do on Facebook or Twitter at OST Talk. Now, Matthew, we all know that dating can also have some very serious issues. I brought up safety earlier, mm-hmm. but you have talked about your role in HIV awareness. And something that is coming is new, I think, in many people's consciousness is dating across HIV lines.
Yes, it's called serodiscordance. Serostatus is your HIV status. And what researchers have proven in the past about a year is that if someone who is HIV positive is on treatment and undetectable, they are almost completely unlikely to pass the virus on to somebody. And then if the other partner who is HIV negative takes Truvada, which is an HIV prevention medicine, there's virtually no possibility of transmitting the virus between these partners. This is something that I think gay men can have inherently known for a while, but it's only been recently published. And I will say some of the strongest relationships between gay men that I have seen are between serodiscordant couples. And it's really wonderful that men and also straight people can date across HIV lines now.
That's extraordinary. I mean, that takes a lot of maturity.
Yes, absolutely.
I haven't been in that situation, but I can only imagine that obviously it's worth it, right? Have you ever had that kind of conversation with somebody that you've been dating?
I've certainly been on dates with people who are HIV positive. I've never maintained a long-term relationship, but I would be completely open to it. I think about one of my role models, Charlie Atlas, the artist, not the bodybuilder. he talked about how he'd been with his partner since like the early 90s, even before these medicines existed. And there was a love and support there that I just thought was so beautiful for one person. Charlie was the HIV negative person. His partner was HIV positive. I think it can actually make a stronger relationship.
I have been speaking with podcaster Victoria Elizabeth, blogger Brittany Manson, and Atlanta-based artist Matthew Terrell. You are listening to On Second Thought.